to The Doula Dispensary, the podcast prescribing a weekly dose of all things doula. The dilemmas discussed are made-up scenarios, and any resemblance to actual persons or events are purely coincidental. Please welcome your hosts, Siobhan and myself, Kiki.
Hi, Kiki. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good.
How are you?
I'm good. To say welcome, everybody, to our first ever podcast.
Yes, and I think we're going to call this a pilot.
Yes, this is going to be our pilot. So we are here in Kiki's lovely womb shed. Is that what you'd call it?
Womb room.
Womb room, that's it.
No, it's a she shed.
A she shed. I knew there was something. It's a play on words. So we're here in Kiki's lovely she shed, but we're sharing a microphone. So I actually have to apologise to you.
Why?
Because I had spring onions earlier, so my breath is probably a bit ripe.
That's all right. I haven't got much of a sense of smell nowadays.
Oh, that's good.
With old age and everything. So
actually, I also have to apologise. Not that our viewers can see, but I've turned up in my exercise attire. So I do apologise for what you're seeing in front of you. Nobody wants to see a perimenopausal woman in her sweaty betties.
Yeah, but this is a podcast after all, so...
Exactly. I could be naked. Yeah. No one would know.
And especially in my Swedish Scandinavian she shed.
Yeah, all right. Let's not get any ideas.
Anyway, how's your week been?
It's been okay, actually.
Yeah?
It's been good. Yes, I've been feeling... energized this week.
Oh, good. You look very relaxed,
thank
I have
you.
To say. Is it
thank
some
you.
What you've been doing to...
I've had a bit of acupuncture.
Okay.
Which I've enjoyed. Mm. I've been exercising again, which I've actually enjoyed.
Oh, wonderful.
And I've been eating better.
Oh, that makes such a difference, doesn't it?
It does. Although I'm still, you know, kale is still not on the menu.
Well, we'll see about that when we get to later on in these programs.
What about you?
It's been very relaxing. Yeah, we've had really good weather. And yeah, I have not done much at all.
Well, that's good.
No exercising.
Oh.
Sunbathing. And that's it.
Good. Yeah. Well, that's it. We all need to relax every now and again.
Absolutely.
Okay, so this week's doula dilemma, we have this question that's come in. I've been asked to be a backup doula for 9 days and also attend an antenatal visit to meet the client. I know this doula charges upwards of £1,200 and she's offering me a flat rate for the on-call and a fee to if I attend the birth. Mm-hmm. However, this does not come anywhere near half the fee. Do you feel there is a point where doulas should consider shared care over backup arrangements?
That
interesting is a dilemma.
Yes, it's a bit of a dilemma. What do you think? I mean, yeah, 9 days is quite a long time to be a backup doula, would you say?
Yeah, it does seem a long time out of the whole period.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not just the odd one day here or there, is it, really? So I suppose when you're talking about continuity of care for our clients, shared care probably does make more sense because that other doula will have been to both the antenatals, will have had email, phone and WhatsApp communication with the client.
Yeah.
So we'll know both doulas equally well.
Mm-hmm.
So it won't necessarily matter which one attends.
Yeah, that's if you did a shared care.
If you did a shared care. Whereas, yeah, I mean, 9 days, it depends. It doesn't really matter where it is, actually, in the on-call period, does it? Which 9 days? Because they're 9 days where she could have the baby, and it's a doula that she's only ever met once before.
Yeah. I think this is kind of a dilemma, something that comes up for a lot of doulas, because we want to be able to offer maybe... our services to more than one person a month, more than one client. And therefore, the only way we can do that is to work with other doulas.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most of the time, all we hear that people talk or doulas talk a lot about is about backups, not so often about shared care. That's my feeling, that you would ask someone, you know, any doulas on a Facebook forum or whatever, and say, could anyone be my backup? I need a backup for these dates. You don't so often see, I need a shared care because I got a client that I'm going to be unable to support for such a long time that it would work out better. So what in your mind, what do you think, Siobhan? What do you think is like a reasonable amount of time to be a backup?
I think if you're talking a few days,
mm-hmm.
Or the odd days here and there.
Okay, so if I'm going, say, to a wedding.
For a weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, then, yeah, backup.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I don't know, a couple of days, 1 week or maybe, I don't know, a day or two, another week.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not for the whole period. It could just be for the daytime while you're doing something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think if you're going beyond 7 days.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's questionable whether that is something that the client would be comfortable with.
Yeah. 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 I mean,
but also with the doula, because I mean, yeah, you invest all your, you know, you do invest your time, your energy mm-hmm. into your clients and you want the best for them. Uh-huh. So it's all very well saying, oh, well, I'll have a backup in place. But the reality is when you have to use that backup, mm-hmm. it probably would make you feel a bit crappy if it's yeah. somebody they don't really know very well.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I guess so it depends on what the client wants to do too. But I think we have a responsibility. That's what we're saying.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you're talking about somebody who's, you know, it's a first mm-hmm. pregnancy, first birth.
Yeah.
In theory, it might sound fine for the client.
Yeah.
But the reality
yeah.
can often be very different.
Exactly.
When the labour actually starts and yeah. they find out, oh, that person I met 2 months ago
yeah.
for 2 hours is actually the person coming.
Yeah.
It's very different.
Yes.
The reality is very different. So I think we as doulas need to sort of take ownership of knowing how that would feel mm-hmm. for the client. And yeah, it's a difficult one.
It is. All dilemmas are.
Indeed. That's why it's a dilemma.
That's it. But actually, you're right there, because we have that experience.
Yeah.
And we need to look at always preparing our clients for what we know might be the experience for them when you get near the time of having the baby, as in,
exactly.
Now I really want that doula that I've spent exactly. all that time with.
Yes, absolutely. So often the reality is very different from how you imagine something to be. So yeah, I think, you know, for many doulas who perhaps have used backups a lot and have never had to use them, I think the reality of actually having to use one
yes.
is very different.
Yeah. And the reaction from your clients.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that goes down.
One thing I don't get is when you just put a random call out
yes.
for a backup.
Okay.
I think it's really important, be it backup or be it shared care, that mm-hmm. you work with a doula who is very similar to you.
Yeah.
Because your client has booked you because of who you are.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's something about you that they have resonated with, something about you that they like. So if you're working with a doula who's the polar opposite yeah. of you, I don't see how that works.
And do you think that before you say you get an inquiry for a birth and you already have someone booked and you know that it's very similar dates, so you need someone for like this scenario, someone for 9 days, that before or even in the initial meeting, you should take you should know who your backup or who your shared care is going to be. So you both go to the initial meeting.
The interview.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, completely. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Because you can't really expect someone to book you.
Yeah.
And then bring somebody else along.
No.
Later
I'm
on.
Sure lots of doulas do that, though.
So I'm this sure is they the do. Thing. Yeah. But again, it's the reality of it actually happening
yeah.
is very different.
Yes.
And so it's all very well, you know, going along and riding it by the seat of your pants.
Yeah.
But the reality of something happening is completely different. And yes. I talk from experience.
Yes.
Yeah. It's very different when it actually happens. Mm. So, you know, what you're talking about in the calm setting of a client's front room, yeah, I'll be fine. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's going to be fine. The client's like, yeah, that's great. The reality is different.
Yeah, when it comes down to it and you're not going.
Exactly.
They're not, they can then be a little bit disappointed.
Yeah. It may work for some.
Yeah.
You know, and if you have a backup that you work with all the time, mm-hmm. you know, that you also do shared care with, who you know is very similar to you, then potentially it might work.
Yeah.
So
when we're talking about this, I know there's going to be other things that come up. Like, for example, when you are a backup or you're doing a shared care, can you take on your own client? This is also kind of part of the dilemma, but not described in this dilemma. Because in my view, I think if you have promised a doula you're going to be a backup or do a shared care with that other doula,
mm-hmm.
if you then get an inquiry, I would feel like I would need to have someone back me up.
Yeah, there's going to have to be some agreement somewhere yes, going
because
on.
Because this is also when doulas can, you know, not fall out, but have disagreements where... you know, it's all very well saying to your backup doula, it's fine, you can take your own clients on too. But what if she then gets called out to her own client and she's your backup that day? Absolutely. Who is she going to go to?
Yeah.
She's going to go to her client, which means you're not going to look very good.
Yeah.
So I think these are things that you might not actually dwell into too much to think about, but you should. You know, you need, because when you have a backup, you need to rely on that backup or that shared care.
Completely.
100%. And how would you share the fees? I mean, this doula is talking about she's going to get paid a flat daily rate. Now, so, we kind of talked about this before, a daily rate if she gets called on to be on call, because it might be the case that I have someone to be a backup towards the end of my on call for someone,
mm-hmm.
and then my client has the baby, so I don't actually need my backup anymore. I don't need that backup because my client had the baby, so I'm free now to go on to my other client who she was backing me up for. Mm-hmm. Are you following me?
Yeah.
So I might then just call my backup doula and say, do you know what? I don't need you anymore because my client's given birth, so I'm now free for my other client.
Mm-hmm.
What do I pay that doula that's been like on standby?
You mean, do you pay her for the days she has done?
She hasn't done any.
Oh, she hasn't done any at all?
So this is, personally, the way I've worked with backups, and I have never paid any money unless they have actually done the on-call period.
Right. Okay.
And then if they have also done the birth, of course, you get an extra fee. But there might be some doula saying, I can't put in my diary to be your backup for those 4 days, say, mm-hmm. Unless you pay me a deposit. What do you feel about that? What's your gut feeling?
I think most people, well, I don't know, actually I don't know this, but I know anyone I've ever worked back up
mm-hmm.
with or for, you know them pretty, I don't,
yes.
I've never felt the need to take a deposit or pay a deposit with them. It's tricky, isn't it? It's a difficult one. So you're saying that doula, if she has got her own client, she also needs to pay a backup.
Yeah.
To cover her in case she's called to your client.
Yes.
So that's on the premise that her backup also doesn't require paying if she suddenly stands down from your backup.
Yes.
Wow, this dilemma's getting even more intricate.
I know. But it's worth considering.
It's absolutely worth considering. I suppose if you want your backup to be exclusive to you and to be available, then you will have to pay them regardless whether you use them or not. Because if they've blocked those days out and have not taken a client of their own, then potentially they could have turned work away.
But I think I kind of have a solution. Maybe you can do then like a half the fee or something, or maybe not. I don't know. Like, you know, if you have a maternity nanny, for example, and she is going to start on, say, the 15th of the month, mm-hmm. and the baby hasn't come yet.
Yeah.
To wait for that baby, often they charge half their daily rate until the baby comes, and then they'll start charging their full rate.
Right.
Am I complicating this now?
I think everyone just needs to be very clear about what
they think is fair. And actually, that comes back to what you're saying. If you know your backup or shared care doula, if you pick doulas that you
have a relationship with, it's very different because... However you split your fee, you are splitting it equally, aren't you?
How would you split your shared care fee?
A third each.
Okay.
And a third for whoever attends the birth.
Okay.
But then you have another system, which I've never got my head around. I know it works, but I just don't know
how you do it. No, I like the way you're doing it. I think it's much easier. A third, you take one third, your shared care takes one third, and then whoever does the birth gets one third.
Yeah.
I think that sounds fair. I think that's a good way.
What was yours? Yours was like
mine is kind of that you pay your, you kind of put all the money into a pot,
mm-hmm.
and then if I'm on call for say 14 days, I get paid for those 14 days, on call out of the pot.
We also an agreed fee. Yeah?
Exactly. Okay. We also get paid for the antenatal meetings.
Right.
And then if whoever does the birth gets paid a set fee too.
Yeah.
And then there's probably some money left in the pot and we divide that in half. So basically you're paid for what you do. If I do all the antenatal meetings, which is very unlikely, we probably do them both together, we get paid for the antenatal meetings.
Yeah.
But I might be on call for 2 weeks and you might be on calls for just 2 days. And yes. Do the birth.
Yeah, but you've still blocked your time out.
Yes, that's very true.
So where's your... If you've... Let's say you've done the first 12 or 11 days of yeah. on call and then you get called to the birth.
Yeah.
I potentially have 12 days that I have booked out
yes.
to be on call.
Yeah.
However, she's given birth now.
Yeah.
But you're getting a quarter of my on call fee.
Yeah.
Because it came on your...
Oh, no, not quite, because you're not going to get paid any on-call money, but you're going to get half of the money left in the pot.
Yes, but the money left in the pot...
Maybe we'll just leave it there.
Yeah, that's where I find that really complex.
Yes.
You know, yes, it's, you know, potentially you, the second doula or whatever, however you've divided it up, yeah. doesn't do any on-call. But at the same time, they've booked that
yes,
time out.
I get that.
So they still need to be paid for yeah. that time because...
I think it's a very good way of doing it. One third, and then the birth.
A third for whoever yeah. does the birth.
Have we
answered that? I don't know. Have we gone off on a tangent?
Yeah, we
sure.
did a little bit, but then that's not unusual. But I think
What would the conclusion be?
Well, the conclusion is that... If you have or need someone to cover your on-call period for more than maybe the odd day or two here and there,
yeah.
you're probably better off to do a shared care.
Yes.
And doing a shared care would mean the fee would be split, probably a third to each of the two doulas, and then the last third to the doula that does the birth. So in our view, I guess what we're saying is that we feel that shared care... should be used more by doulas.
I just feel that if somebody wanted to book me and I look in my diary and I can see there's an overlap and it's more than a couple of days,
yeah.
then I automatically default to shared care.
Yeah.
My response would be, this is what I can offer you.
Yeah. And then you wouldn't... So basically what this dilemma is asking, is there a time? Is there a certain cut-off point?
Yeah, I mean, 9 days... Is a long time.
Yeah.
But then, like, you know, is she taking on a client herself?
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's so many variables, isn't yeah. there?
So, like with any dilemma we have come
there's
up
no
with.
There's no right or wrong answer. There's many answers.
That's it, as you can tell. But hopefully that will have given you all something to think about.
Bit of food for thought there.
Exactly that. Mm. So we'll see what comes up next week.
Yes. Ba-da-ba-da-bow. Okay, so now it's time for question time. So let's have a listen.
Hi, this is Millie from West London. I'm very excited about the podcast. My question is, how can you best support a client who has been traumatized by her first birth experience and is now scared of going into labor the second time round? Thank you.
Right, Kiki. So what do you think?
Well, this is quite a common occurrence, I find, that when you've had a really traumatic first birth, you're going to be worried about your next birth. And there's quite a lot of work to be done leading up to the birth, I would say.
Absolutely.
And labour starting. So one of the things that I would suggest is allowing this woman and maybe the couple to write down their birth experience from their own point of view. And it's important that they don't reread it back. It's kind of a healing process where they just keep writing and writing and writing everything they felt. And they can even write this letter to someone that was there. Maybe pretend they're writing to the midwife, the doctor, the baby,
okay.
to anyone that was in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a way of getting everything out and down onto a piece of paper.
What if, though, you have somebody that just needs to kind of, bleh, you know, just... spit it out.
Yeah, I think you should do that too.
Oh,
I think
okay.
you should talk about it too.
As well as,
yes.
okay.
So, of course, as the doula, you would meet one of the antenatal meetings, or the first one, ideally, would be listening to the couple or the mum or the dad, even if you wanted to meet them separately. But it's nice to have them all together because they can help each other with the story.
Mm-hmm.
And then talk about what happened and really listen and acknowledge all the details.
It is so important, isn't it, to actually listen.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to keep...
No,
like you're doing that with the hands. Butting in, feeling like you need to say something. Yeah, it's important for them to just talk, isn't it?
Absolutely, and to leave space. When they stop talking, actually don't jump in there with something. Don't try and find a fix or a solution or tell them what happened was because of this and because of that. That's going to make them, it could help, but it's best to just listen. I find also, and I don't know if you do this, Siobhan, after that, going through birth physiology.
Yeah.
So you take them through the physiology of birth and talking about how the different hormones work. Maybe we'll have a talk about that at some point.
Yeah.
But it's something I really cover in the doula course because it's so important.
I find going through that, as you're going through it with them, they relate it back to that birth.
Exactly.
And they pick out, you know, where that bit went wrong or why that happened there.
Yeah.
Which, although can be quite traumatic for them, in a way it's giving them some answers.
Yes. What it does give them often is that the woman doesn't feel like she failed, like it was her body that wasn't working.
Yeah.
Often she can see and understand why birth wasn't straightforward, because she was disturbed, she didn't feel safe, she was scared, all those different reasons which makes it difficult for oxytocin and endorphins to be released.
Yeah.
So that is one of the things that I would do, and also go through the path to birth, you know, talk about what happens in the different areas. It might even, depending on what kind of trauma and how scared she is, worth her going to see a trained therapist as well.
Yeah,
they can
absolutely
do things like a rewind technique or something to put the trauma to rest, so to speak. And I also think preparing for the birth is very important, that you do a birth preference rather than a plan.
Yeah.
Don't have a birth plan. And also consider all the possibilities. That it should be written in a way that this is what I wish and this is what I want to happen during my baby's birth, but be open to that anything can happen. So that you need to kind of release some of the control you might have, you might have that even if you haven't had a traumatic birth, but especially with a traumatic birth, you want to be in charge.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you want to add something?
No, I think you've practically covered it all there. I just think the most important thing is to listen and not try to fix it.
Mm-hmm. And you can actually say that it's not going to be the same again. It's very unlikely to be exactly the same kind of a birth.
Yeah.
Exactly bit by bit. But it doesn't mean we can't reassure either to say it's going to be absolutely fine this time.
Yeah. Do you ever get concerned that a client who perhaps like this scenario...
Mm-hmm.
feels like a doula is going to be some kind of magic wand?
Absolutely.
So how do you deal with that?
You just have to be very clear in your communication that you don't promise things that you can't control. You have no control over. You want her to get to a space, or you want them both to get to a place where they feel, do you know what, this time it will be different. We understand now what happened in the previous birth. Mm-hmm. We have a doula this time. Someone's going to be there. Because often it's not actually what happens in the birth that traumatizes women and couples. It's the way they felt. Yeah. It's the way they felt at that moment when they had their baby. They felt maybe unsupported, unloved, like no one was listening to them. And that's the one thing we know doulas can guarantee, at least, that you can make sure that your clients get the information they need.
Yeah.
So they can feel more relaxed and more comfortable knowing they're not going to be just on their own. And not knowing really what's going on.
Absolutely. And trauma is not, it's not always, you know, the woman that has the trauma.
No.
I mean, I've worked with people who have had previous relationships and, you know, have children from past relationships who've had, you know, a traumatic birth.
Yes.
And they don't want to bring it into you know, this relationship with this birth.
Mm-hmm.
So I've, you know, I have worked a lot with fathers, yes, as well, or partners.
That's a really good point to make, that you need to, sometimes I think it's a good idea to, if you have the email or phone number, or you can, you know, check in with the couple separately, talking to, yeah, the woman on her own at some point,
mm-hmm,
and speaking to the partner,
yeah,
at some point, it can be a really good strategy to make sure that you know everything, because they might not want to be saying things in front of each other.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, really important.
Yeah, and then the thing is, Millie, you just have to turn up and just be the wonderful doula you are, and trust that, you know, what will be anyway, but having you there will make a difference this time around. And, yeah, how you get her to relax to go into labour, that's a whole other kettle of fish.
Yeah, well, that, I think that's something that you need to put back onto them,
yes,
to say, you know, what are you doing to get some, mm-hmm, like some self-help?
Yeah.
What things are you, exactly, doing to help yourself let go?
Yeah. Signposting to other agencies and organizations and, yeah, people that can help. Even getting her notes from the hospital could help.
Potentially, if they're read by the right people.
Exactly, because they can be really hard to decipher and understand as well. There's a lot of doctor's handwriting's notoriously known for being hard to read.
Yeah, there is a lot of that. But also, there's also a lot of, I think, sugarcoating.
Yeah.
If you go back to the trust to have, yes, your notes read by someone who works in that trust.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, I think, yeah, it's good to maybe just get an independent person
to
cast their eye over it, so that you get an unbiased, mm-hmm, view of what is written down.
Absolutely. So hopefully that has helped.
Hope so.
And please do send us your questions as a voice mail. Yeah,
a voice note.
How do you do in voice notes, Siobhan?
Yeah. You could send a voice note by WhatsApp.
Oh.
You just click on the little microphone and talk.
Okay.
And then you press send. Even I can do it.
Oh, wow. It must be easy then.
Exactly. Say no more.
So we look forward to getting your questions in for next week's podcast.
Ba-da-ba-da-bow. Okay, so now it's time for our doula dose. So this week's dose of doula, we are talking about language.
Yes, that's a good idea.
Yes,
did you just think about that now?
Just came up with that all by myself.
Excellent.
Right now.
So language is so important, isn't it?
So important.
What have you been noticing?
Well, lots of deliveries.
Oh,
that old chestnut.
Yes, exactly. All of a sudden, the baby was delivered.
Yes.
And the mum just put her arms out.
Yes, she didn't have anything to do with it.
Sounds excellent.
It was all the person at the other end who gets the credit.
So it seems to be creeping back into the doula world.
Yeah. It's quite surprising, actually, how many doulas you see using the word delivery.
Which is a very disempowering word.
Very disempowering.
And that we should not be using.
No.
What is it that people say? They say grapefruits are sectioned, pizzas are delivered,
babies are born.
Exactly. And that is how we should keep things. So, yeah, our little dose this week is don't use the word delivery.
I mean, it's not the only word. There's also, for example, I saw a post this week from somebody saying at 20 weeks you will have a scan, when really it probably should say at 20 weeks you will be offered a scan.
Exactly that, because you do not have to do anything that you feel is not right for you.
Exactly. So I think as doulas it's really important that we are mindful,
mm-hmm,
of the language we use with our clients as
Absolutely.
Well.
So we say things like what normally happens and what their options are.
Yeah.
And give them all the information rather than this is what happens and this is what you do.
Yeah, and you do hear this a lot, don't you, from women who will say, I've been told I will be induced, mm-hmm, at 40 weeks.
Or I wasn't allowed to have a home birth.
Yeah. Yeah, are they going to let you go, mm-hmm, that far over?
I wasn't allowed to go over my due date.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, as if it's some kind of dictatorship. You know, like the minute you walk into the hospital, you're suddenly, there's all these rules and regulations, mm-hmm. and you're somehow a prisoner, like as if you can't go home.
And the police will come and arrest you if you don't do what they tell you.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's great for our first dose of the week.
Language is very important. It can be empowering, it can be disempowering, mm-hmm. and it's up to us to use the correct terminology, I suppose.
Exactly that.
Okay, so each week we are going to ask you, the listener, to set us a task or give us a trial. Ask us to trial something and report back what we find.
Hmm, that sounds really dangerous. Are you sure we want to ask?
Depends what they're going to set us, I suppose, doesn't it?
So I might just mention a few things that you don't like then, just to set...
Things that are completely off limits are wearing Crocs... That I will not do.
Have you tried Crocs? They're very comfortable.
No.
I might set you a trial for that.
No, that's not happening. And anything involving cheese.
Okay.
Or spiders.
All right.
They are my three things. They are absolute no's.
No go.
What about you?
No, I haven't really got anything.
There's nothing at all that you won't try or do.
Yes.
You're nothing. Very open.
I know. Why not? Because now everyone will focus on creepy crawlies.
No, because their nose.
And other shoes that look like Crocs.
No. It's not happening, people. No.
But what have we tried? We've done a few trials together, haven't we?
We have.
Joe Wicks.
Our Joe.
Oh, God, he's...
We do love our Joe, don't we?
Oh, we do, yes. And
it's we love a good hit class.
We do, and it's very good, especially our age. Now we...
At our age? You're making us sound like a... pair of pensioners. We're not that
I mean
bad.
We're young.
Of course we're young.
Yeah, we need to keep young. I mean,
we are young.
I don't know what I'm talking. Should I just shut up now?
No, but just for anyone that hasn't met us, we're not that old.
No, we're actually only 48.
Exactly. It's not old.
No, but we might just be in that perimenopausal stage.
We're definitely perimenopausal,
and that's why keeping fit and exercising.
So important.
Yeah, so we like Joe Wicks, so we've tried that. So you don't have to ask us to trial that.
Yeah, we've tried that. How are you finding your perimenopause?
Actually, as long as I exercise and keep seeing Joey every morning in my front room.
Good old Joe.
Yes, I am fine. And
good.
If I'm not, then I tend to get quite cloudy minded. But also, I also see Hilary Lewin, who does the wonderful Arvigo massage.
And fantastic.
That is really helping. Basically, I go and see her every 5-6 weeks and have this most wonderful massage. And afterwards, I feel like a different woman.
That's brilliant.
No, so I can highly recommend that.
I think it is important, isn't it, to find some alternatives to the medical route.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What about you? How's your perimenopausal?
Well, you know me. I jumped straight down the drugs route.
Okay.
Which I don't know if that was the right thing to do. So I am having a trial not being on HRT.
Okay.
And I must say, this week, I feel bloody amazing.
I know, you look amazing. It's definitely doing you good not being on HRT.
Yeah.
But it might suit some women.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's only 1 week, so I don't know. It could just be a coincidence that I suddenly feel a lot better off it than I did on it. But I am having acupuncture, which has made me feel amazing.
Wonderful.
So, yeah, long live the no HRT route.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, it's a bit odd, I know, us talking about perimenopause and stuff.
But it's coming, ladies. If you're not there, it's coming.
That's it. And do you know what? These are one of the things that we don't learn enough about.
It's so true. Yeah. It's so, so true. All my friends who are my age or even a little bit older haven't got a bloody clue why they're feeling the way they're feeling.
No.
And yet they are classic symptoms of perimenopause.
Which starts up to 10 years sometimes before you actually go through the menopause.
Exactly.
And actually roughly about 30 years after you had your first period.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So if you're in your early 40s thinking you're feeling strange and not as you normally do, it could well be perimenopause.
Yeah, so all you doulas in your early 40s who think you're not perimenopause, but you know you are, and you know who I'm talking about. You know who you are. Yeah, you need to really start researching it so you understand what's happening to you. Because there's too many GPs out there just willing to get you to pop a few Prozacs and send you on your way.
That's it.
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely something that all women should really research.
Yeah, just like we don't learn enough about periods, we don't learn enough about childbirth, and we don't learn enough about menopause.
So true.
We will be we probably keep coming back to this topic amongst other things, because it's very much a woman's topic, and this podcast, yes, it's for doulas, but it's also for discussing women's issues.
It's anything really, isn't it? Whatever comes up. But I would just like to point out, as it is a podcast and you can't see us, for anyone that doesn't know us, we don't have hair on our chins. We haven't grown a moustache.
No. What else are the typical kind of things?
I don't know.
We haven't become wise.
No, definitely not wise.
Yeah, we're waiting for that bit still, but you know.
But definitely in the kind of not giving a...
Yes. The F word?
Yeah. About things.
Yeah,
definitely.
So I think we look forward to hearing what trials or what was it? Tasks. What tasks are going
to
set
us? So please do send in any tasks that you want to set us that we can obviously achieve within a week so we can report back. Or set us a trial.
Yeah. And we'll let you know how it goes.
Yeah, absolutely. Ba-da-ba-da-bow. Okay, so we are nearing the end of our very first ever podcast.
I know. I can't believe it.
Neither can I. I can't believe we've talked. Well, I can believe we've talked for that long, actually.
I'm quite pleased that we haven't talked for much longer on each topic.
Oh, God, yeah. But it would be too draining.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll still have some listeners with us still.
Yeah, hopefully you are point. Still with us and not all in a coma somewhere.
Exactly.
So tell me, Kiki, what are you up to next week? What are your plans?
Well, next week I'm really going to try and get back into things properly, because I've had a really, really lazy summer. I've stayed away. And now when I have my new home office... womb room or
womb
she
room.
Shed
she
but
shed.
Actually it's the Birth Bliss Academy headquarters
HQ.
Mm-hmm. So I am going to spend a lot of time here. I'm hoping to get my book back so I can do some
your
more.
Book
I know
oh do tell us about that
my second book
your second book
yes that I've written for and it's going to be published by Singing Dragon, which is a publishing firm.
Fantastic.
And it's called Supporting Survivors of Sexual Abuse During Childbirth, Pregnancy and Childbirth.
Oh, a very important read for anyone working in the maternity world, really.
It will be, absolutely. So it's not going to be published until January next year. So I'm going to have a look through that and just do the final touches, as well as scheduling all the courses, getting all the normal business stuff you do as a doula.
Wow, that sounds heavy.
God, what about you?
Very
what are you
profound.
Up to?
So next week I have 3 nights with a set of twins.
Oh, wow.
I have a couple of interviews.
Excellent.
And I have an antenatal.
Okay, so with a client.
With a client, an existing client, yeah. And at some point between now and then, a birth.
Oh, so you're on call right now.
I am.
Oh, that's so cool. And you're sitting here so relaxed. And
well,
just...
I'm always on call.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm never not on
Siobhan
call.
Is actually always on call.
Mm-hmm.
And always working with lots of other doulas.
Yes.
Yeah, so...
I do love my doula tribe.
Yes, your doula cuddle.
My doula cuddle, yes.
Well, I guess that's it then. We'll have
it
to
is.
Catch up again next week.
We
find out
indeed.
What you've been up to.
Absolutely.
Look at those trials and tasks.
Yes. Yeah, do send them in.
Yes, I'm quite worried.
Yeah, make sure. Remember, we are of a certain age.
Yeah. Oh, you kept going on about how we're not old.
Nothing too taxing, you know.
No, we're very strong. Very strong.
Easy. They might send us, I don't know,
like
trapeze walking or something.
Oh, or jumping out of a plane.
Oh,
can
God.
You imagine that? That'd be brilliant.
No, forget that, people. Don't listen to her.
Well, anyway, I guess all we've got to say now then is it was lovely sharing this time with you.
It was great. And
I'll see you next Thursday.
Listeners should always do their own due diligence on any information received from these discussions to form their own opinions and best judgments. In preparing this podcast, we have endeavoured to offer current, correct and clearly expressed information aimed at our audience. However, we make no claims that the information will be accurate, complete or current at all times, and we accept no liability for any reliance placed by any person on this information. We make no representations or warranties of any kind about the suitability, reliability, timeliness and accuracy of the information contained herein. Do 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 do.